Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Yadalid, Chapter 14. If you remember, in Chapter 13, we dealt with two types of false prophets. One was the men, and one was the women. Perek Yadalid is also split into two parts that are going to deal with two different but connected topics. We're going to speak first about the first one, and then transition to the second. The Perek begins with the Zakenim, the elders, coming to Yecheskel. We saw this before in Perek Chet, when Yecheskel had his vision of Yerushalayim. Why would they come? It seems to be that they want to hear Nevuah. They actually want to hear what Hashem has to say. This seems like a really good sign. This is a great movement. People care about Hashem. In Perek Chet through Yud Aleph, Yecheskel had this vision of Yerushalayim, and the Zakenim came to Yecheskel perhaps with an inquiry about the fall of Babel. Will they go back to Israel at this point? And Hashem responded to them with this vision of Yerushalayim, ending with the rejection of the two misconceptions that the people had, the people in Israel. One was, the city is the pot and we're the meat, i.e. the city of Yerushalayim will protect us. And the second was, Rachakume al Hashem, lanuhi natna ha'aretz lamor asha. You people of Babel are far from Hashem. The land was given only to the people of Israel as our inheritance. There, at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, at the end of this very long nevuah about Yerushalayim, Yecheskel ended with words of consolation and encouragement to the people of the Galut, assuring them that both these conceptions were wrong. They would go back to Israel, and also that the Galut was not ending this year. And Babel is not falling. And that really was Yecheskel's message to those Zakenim that came to him in Perek Chet. Now, in Perek Yadalid, we see the Zakenim come to Yecheskel again. And we're not sure if it's the same group of Zakenim. It could be, it isn't. Those Zakenim in Perek Chet are called Zakenei Yuda, and these are called Zakenei Yisrael. But now Yecheskel does not give them the same type of nevuah that he gave them earlier. In fact, it starts out by Hashem saying, Pasukimo, Ben Adam, Ha'anashim Ha'ile, Ha'elu Giluleim Alibam, Umichol Avanam Latnu Nohach Nehem, Ha'idarish, Idarish Lahem. Son of man, what Hashem always calls Yecheskel. These men have taken idols into their heart and they put stumbling blocks of iniquity before their face. Should I answer what they want me to answer them? Abar Blanel explains that these are people that pretend to care about Devar Hashem and want to hear it. But Hashem tells Yecheskel what their true nature is. And Malbim explains that they don't just do Avodah Zarah, but it's Alibam. They really believe it. They buy it into their ideology. Ha'idareshu Daresh Lahem? Should I respond to their request with the Nevuah? Do they deserve it? Now, these group of leaders that Yecheskel is facing, nobody would want them leading the people. There's a double problem with their leadership. Number one, they are committed to idolatry and clearly leading the people the wrong way. But on the other hand, there's another problem. And the second problem is that they don't admit it. They are still coming to the Navi and pretending to be on his side as well. Perhaps, what writes Adat Mikra, they just want to cover their bases, make sure they get help from all sides. But we know from the fights of Elio and Achav, Ad matai atem poslim al shtei hasiyim? How long are you going to limp back and forth between two opinions? Serving Hashem doesn't work like that. You can't believe in idolatry in many gods and one God at the same time. You do actually need to commit to one idea and follow it, hopefully the right idea, and lead the people down that path. Hashem decides here that he will speak to these Zakenim, but not with the answers to the questions that they are asking. Instead, the nevuah that follows is what Hashem decides he wants to tell them, not what they want to hear. So says Yecheskel to these Zakenim in Pasuk Dalid, Lachin, Diber Otam, speak to them. Hashem says, Yecheskel, you should speak to them. For Amar Talim, and this is what you should say, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Ish Ish mi Beit Yisrael Asher Yale Al Gilulav Alibo Umchshol Avono Yosim Nochach Panav. Any person who is like you, who has idols on his heart, and he puts a stumbling block in front of his face, Uba El Hanavi, and then that person has the audacity to come to the prophet, Ani Hashem Na'aneti Lo. Uba Barov Gilulav, I will answer you according to your idols. You will be revealed for who you actually are, and you will know that the punishment is coming for you as well, not just for the people of Israel. Yechezkel then turns his nevuah away from the leaders and appeals directly to the people, calling them Beit Yisrael, not Zikne Yisrael, the house of Israel, not the elders. They don't have to be trapped by these Zakenim who don't admit that they are completely given over to idolatry. It's very hard to fight back against leaders who don't admit that they're taking you down the wrong path. And says Yechezkel, Lachin Amoral Beit Yisrael, say to the house of Israel, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Shuvu. Vehishivu me'al gilul lechem, come back to me and return from your idolatrous ways. And me'al kol te'evotechem, heshivu panechem, turn your face away from all of these abominations. Obviously, this message is also for the leaders, but it's also for the people. The Jews of the Babylonian exile do not have to follow these two-faced leaders. They can chart their own path. They can follow Hashem with Yechezkel at their helm and become better. Leaders are helpful when they're helpful, but when leaders themselves are corrupted, the people must realize that they do not have to blindly follow. With that, Yechezkel turns to a different kind of leader, the false prophet, and takes him to task as well. These false prophets will be destroyed, and v'nas'u avonam ka'avon Ka'avon hadoresh, ka'avon hanavi yihyeh. They will carry their own sins as well as the sins of the people who asked for and believed the false prophecy. We see again here the theme that was developed earlier in the Sefer of people carrying responsibility for other people. Hashem tells Yechezkel that he is responsible for the sins of the people that he didn't warn. Here, the false prophets are responsible for the lies that they tell people who are looking for Devar Hashem. The section ends with hope for the people of Galut Bavel, Pasukir Aleph, Laman lo yito od Beit Yisrael me'acharai, in order that Beit Yisrael, the group of people who live here, will not turn away from after me. Lo yitam'u od b'chol pisha'ehem, they won't become defiled anymore in all of their sins. V'hayu li la'am, they can be a nation for me, v'ani ehiye lahem le'elohim, and I can be a God for them, Ne'um Hashem Elokim, says Hashem. Once we are discussing the destruction of the people that are coming, the destruction of the city of Yerushalayim, the second section of Perek Yudalet describes how completely it will be destroyed. Yechezkel here ponders what might be thought of as a philosophical point. How does God's justice work? We know from the story of Abraham and Sodom that Abraham had the premise that if there were 50 good people in the city, then the whole city of wicked people could be saved. Hashem seems to agree because he responds to Abraham, not that, well, it just doesn't work like that, but rather that there are not 50 righteous people in the city, seemingly that if there would have been, it would have worked to save the city, and even 40 and 30, etc. Here, in the second half of Perek Yudalet, Yechezkel proposes a different philosophy. A land that is full of evil and is slated for destruction, Pasuk Yudalet, V'hayu shloshet ha'anashim ha'ela b'tocha, Noach, Daniel, v'Iyov, Hema b'tzikatam yinatzlu nafsham, Ne'um Hashem Elokim. If there were three good people inside it, and then they are named like Noach, Daniel, and Iov, they would be saved in their righteousness, but they would not be able to save other people. Yechezkel explains that not only can they not help the people of the city, they can't save them from the destruction, they can't even save their own family, their own children. Instead, says Yechezkel, if a punishment is decreed on the land, wild animals, famine, sword, or pestilence, these people will be saved, but they do not have the power to save others. These are three men who are mentioned as examples of people who are good themselves, and they really are. But there's something perhaps about them or perhaps about the city that their righteousness does not extend. Why these three people? They seem so random. And Daniel, especially, he was a child at this point in time, although a child who is clearly standing up to the authorities. There are many answers to this question. The Radak points out that these people are examples of what Yechezkel was describing. They were each saved from the destruction of their time, but they were not able, with their merit, to save others. The Radak writes eloquently about the strengths that these people needed to hold on to the ideas that went against the orthodoxies of this time, and they did not give up. Even after building the Teva year after year and being laughed at by the people of his time, Noah held fast to Hashem. Iov did not turn his back. from Hashem when even his closest friends accused him of being wicked and deserving his fate. And Daniel held on to his Judaism, even in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Nevertheless, none of these three were able to stop the destruction or save the generation from its fate. We saw this image come up in Parak Tet. When Yechezkel goes to Israel, he sees a tough written on the heads of the good people, which would lead to perhaps a second explanation of these three people. So the first explanation of why these three people is because they are examples of what Yechezkel is talking about. They were each saved, but they were not able to save others. Explanation number two perhaps relates directly to Yechezkel's time period, and that is about this tough that was written on the heads of the good people. When Yechezkel flies to Yerushalayim, that is one of the things that he sees. The good people will be saved. However, these good people in Yerushalayim were described as ha'anashim ha'ne'enachim v'ha'ne'enakim al kol toivot ha'na'aso b'tocha. They sigh and cry over all the abominations of what's happening in their society. And that is enough to have a tav written on their heads and to save them from the destruction. Perhaps what they don't do is stand up to their society, rebuke them publicly, or even daven on their behalf. They sigh and they cry. There seems to perhaps be a distance between these tzaddikim and the people around them. Maybe a distance that would protect the tzaddikim, but would not protect their society. We know from Sefer Yechezkel that people are held accountable for those who they impact and who they could have impacted. Leaving Eov and Daniel aside, we know that Noach was a tzaddik, but he did not live up to the standard of Avraham. Perhaps this is because Avraham is the type to ask Hashem to save the city of Sodom. Avraham is the one who influenced people everywhere he went, who took three wandering men he didn't know into his tent. Maybe Yechezkel's words are directed not only to the good people in Yerushalayim, but to the leaders who are sitting in front of them. Aside from their hypocrisy that must be changed, good people have a responsibility to influence others if they can. Otherwise, they will end up only saving themselves when maybe they could have impacted the larger community. And maybe that's a second interpretation of why Yechezkel mentions that these three people could not save the city. One last interpretation is brought by many Mefarshim, including Rashi, Ma'ariv, Kara, and Radak. They note that each of these men saw their world built, destroyed, and then built again. Noach saw the whole world built, destroyed, and built. Daniel saw the world of the Jewish people with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and Eov saw his own personal world. The message, says the Ma'ariv Kara, is actually a nechama, a consolation to these people of Galut Yehoyachin. They came from a built world. They were the aristocracy and lived independently in their own land. They already saw their world destroyed when they went into exile. They will continue to see it destroyed more with the Chorban, but they will also see it rebuilt and will have a chance to go back and be part of that rebuilding. It takes great strength to be a Noach, an Eov, or a Daniel who doesn't lose hope in the face of such destruction and who can be part of the process of creating a new society after the one that was lost. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilo Nishma, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.